about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
From Korea, Chicago, London, and Keokuk, the latest news from all parts of the world with complete reports on the top developments of the day.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Let me ask you this question. How in God's name did you get this job?
I am great at dealing with these disturbances.
Yes, really? I'm asking that because you come off as quite a goofball.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
It's not. Is there any question that you will answer? Because you haven't answered one question yet. For example, what color is your tie?
Let me just say this.
Uh-huh.
I am wearing a tie.
Yes, you are. What color is it?
I believe the tie is self-evident, so the color is there.
Okay.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you.
And now.
Well, I, for one, think you're perfect for each other.
Feel like there's going to be more.
Because you're both losers.
There it is.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 32nd of Rocktober.
Check that. I'm not sure that's right.
Oh, I'll look.
I think it's the 1st of November, I think is what it is. We do need an appropriate sound effect for that.
I'd rather have the 32nd.
I'm positive what that sound effect would be.
Oh, hey, I think you know.
Allie, tell Kevin what you were telling me before you walked in.
Going to need a reminder.
It involved today being the 1st of the month.
Rabbit is trending in the U.S.
Lord.
In the U.S.
Come on.
Again this month, by the way. I can't figure out why it's taking off all of a sudden.
I feel like Bean has really brought it to the people.
You feel like he's leading?
Yeah, leading the charge.
As Bean goes, so goes the world.
I just know that it wasn't trending until we started talking about it a couple of months ago. And now all of a sudden, every first of the month, there it is.
For those that didn't hear, why don't you recap the stupidity that is Rabbit?
Well, first of all.
I mean, whatever the thing is.
It's just a I won't even say it's a superstition. It's just a tradition among some people. Apparently, it originated in Britain, which I think is where I learned it growing up with my British mother. And it's just the first day of the month. You say either rabbit or white rabbits. And it's supposed to bring you good luck.
Did you have to say white rabbits twice or just once?
I think it's pretty loosey-goosey.
Okay.
Any kind of nod to the rabbit world is considered sufficient.
If you wake up and say, hair, you're good.
Probably
right?
So. Well, you watch a Bugs Bunny cartoon, I think that gets you out of it. I mean, I think there's a lot of look, it's like a lot of people have different ways to pray, Kevin. Some people need to be in a pew in a church. Some people can just be driving down the road and think
it.
And they
think
feel
it's like that.
It is, though. That's
no, because
what I'm saying is,
you're comparing prayer to the rabbit world.
Right. And they are
identical. Making a nod to
they
the
are
rabbit
identical
world.
In how much of a difference they actually make in your life. But my point is that people do things because they make them feel better.
Ah.
And so it's wide open how you want to commemorate the first of every month. But apparently in America, on social media, rabbit is how they want to do it.
That's so stupid.
Well, you're missing out. Anyway.
Take my chances.
So we got a lot of stuff on the show today. Before we get to all of that, including mucho Dodger talk, I want to talk about this flight out of Detroit. Did you guys see it? The latest quest to join the Mile High Club
has
landed two people were arrested. Now, the Mile High Club, my understanding, is you have sex to get into the Mile High Club, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's all the sex, right?
Well, I mean... Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's not
what was happening on this flight. A man and a woman were busted Sunday on a Delta flight from Los Angeles, way to go, to Detroit. Officials said, and here's my favorite part, the two were total strangers before boarding the plane.
Yay!
Wow.
How does the conversation – look, it takes me a year to get a girl to go out with me. How does a guy in the course of a flight from Los Angeles to Detroit get sexy time happening? A woman was arrested on the plane for performing oral sex on a man while they were in their seats. The 48-year-old woman was headed to Nashville, while the 28-year-old man was headed to Miami.
Okay.
The act itself is inappropriate in a public space, one traveler said. And we've talked about this in the past, Kevin. If you see sexy time happening on a plane...
Stop calling it sexy time.
Yeah, if you could.
You don't complain to anyone, right?
Well, I don't, as long as there's not kids around. If there's no kids around, I'm all good. Mm. And then I just... Dibs. I got
what
next.
What if it's... Oh, heavy. What if it's like a 3-and-3 seat, and it's the woman in the middle seat and the guy in the window seat?
Right.
And you're in the aisle. That's close.
I mean, I don't say anything.
In other words, if they're next to you, if they're in the seat next to you, Kevin, you still don't say anything.
I don't, no.
Okay.
Do you? If there's no kids, let's just say there's no kids. Do you say something?
Yeah, I don't think I want to be. I don't think I want that going on around me.
Okay. Because then you just go, oh, I wish that was me.
Is it weird that I'd rather they were straight boning than doing that?
Really?
Yeah, I feel like.
Yeah, that's weird.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like that's a little more intimate to me. Wow, that's a look into my sex life.
No kidding.
How's everyone doing? I'll bone anyone, but this ain't going on that unless I know ya.
This is like the old, the hookers won't kiss you on the mouth. It's, y'all do that,
exactly.
But I won't do this.
Wait, what?
There are children, another passenger said. There are families. There are seniors. These things should be respected. Both people were issued citation. The investigation was handed over to the FBI.
Wow.
Why is the FBI investigating? What? Do they just have jurisdiction over things that happen in the air, maybe?
Maybe her technique.
Maybe. You know, it's got to be because it was in the air, because otherwise it seems like there would be a local police. It'd be the local police if it were on the ground, right?
Yeah. Does it say where the stop was? If one was going to Nashville, one to Miami, but it was a flight to Detroit? I mean, they need a better travel agent, both of them.
Well, I mean, it's not uncommon for a cross-country flight for either one of these to have a one stop, though, somewhere.
Do you think if we open the phones at some point in the future?
Yes.
We not
you
that
don't even have to ask.
Hold on. Not that I've done it, but you didn't know the person when you got on the flight. You think?
Oh.
Because that seems like that cuts it way down.
That does cut it down.
I mean, this is impressive.
Yeah.
We've done the phone topic before of the shortest amount of time you knew somebody before you had sex.
Right.
And there, I mean, we could have taken calls all day on less than 15 minutes.
Yeah, but that includes like parties and stuff that people are at. So,
right.
But on a plane. I mean, that's
FBI agent said the incident is still under investigation. The two could be charged with anything from a misdemeanor to a felony. I mean, I'm trying to think of what the possible charges could be. And beyond indecent exposure, I can't think of what else you could charge them with.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
If people will go so far as to disrespect themselves and disrespect you, something should be done, a traveler said. The FBI said charges could be issued in the case as early as Tuesday. That was yesterday. So far, Delta has declined to comment on the incident. So I would like to know more about this story. And
pictures.
And if the... if there's going to be a second date, because if there is, we'll be happy to pay for it.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Joe Buck talks to us about World Series Game 7 tonight.
What about that, by the way?
Game 7.
Wow.
I love Game 7 in any playoffs in any sport.
Yeah.
Always
well,
the best.
You do play like 175 games to get to the point where it might be down to the one out.
Exactly right.
Everything's on the line. I wonder if this World Series has been at all exceptional for Joe Buck, because he's done 25 of them or something.
Oh,
I wonder if it's
gotta
just
be.
I mean, I can't imagine it hasn't. Hasn't it been one of the
because it's been one of the best, if not the best, seven game series I've ever seen in my life.
He had all kinds of wild stuff and more home runs than any other time, don't you think? I mean, we can ask him, but
I mean, it's another day at work for Joe Buck. I wonder if to him it's just whatever the game is, that's what the game is. You know what I mean? But because he's done so many of them,
right?
But that's awesome that we're going to talk to him. I think he's been doing as usual, by the way. And I know it's not unanimous, but I think he's been doing once again a terrific job calling this series.
I agree.
You would say that as an Astros fan,
right?
He's an Astros fan.
Oh. Well, as Joe Buck tells us every time he comes on, everybody believes he hates their team.
Also on the program today, Stu Mundell, who is the helicopter pilot for Channel 2 or Channel 9, either one, and has covered, I don't know, a million car chases.
All, yeah.
And he's the best.
And I have so many questions for how does that even work?
How does it work?
Yes.
There's a car chase, and then he goes up in a helicopter.
Yeah, and where is he when the car chase starts? And how much time does he have to get in the air?
Oh, they tip him off. They say, listen, I'm about to start a car chase. And then he's like, let me fuel up.
He sleeps in his helicopter and just waits for the call?
Well, the helicopter pilot, and I don't know if he is the pilot as well as the guy in there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they're ready to go. They have a shift just like a reporter.
Okay. Oh, so they're on standby, and he just then has to get there.
No, he should be there.
Oh, he's there as well.
I would assume every day
he goes in and just waits in a hangar for something to happen that requires him to go out.
Well, come on,
yeah,
car
it's
chase.
LA. There's going to be a car chase. There's going to be a fire. There's going to be a police standoff. Come on, man. Topeka.
So is there no... All right, I have many more questions. I'm going to save it for Stu.
Yeah, maybe, because I could be wrong.
Josh Duhamel is going to be on the program today, talking about his part in Call of Duty World War II. Did I mention the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices?
You didn't, but thank you.
Dave Grohl hosted Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yeah.
Got highlights of that. And, of course, Dodgers, Dodgers, Dodgers. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. LNOC's Alternative Rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's going on with you, man?
Boy, I'll tell you, the sexual misconduct charges continue to pour in. Yesterday, there were even more leveled against more actors and producers, a lot of news people. Jeremy Piven yesterday was accused of sexual assault. There was an actress who claimed that she was in his trailer on the Entourage set when he got very handsy without her consent. And the same thing happened at the Playboy Mansion. She was a former playmate. So she is accusing him of sexual assault. He denies it, of course. She claims she has follow-up messages from him that would confirm the case. So I'm sure this will be going forward. You know, he works for a CBS show who says it's called Wisdom of the Crowd. And the CBS executives are saying they're looking into the charges. So there may be some potential fallout from this. Certainly was for Kevin Spacey and his show House of Cards yesterday. Netflix announced they are not even going to produce the sixth season as planned. They have suspended production indefinitely on that television show. And then Andy Dick, who has a long history of touching people inappropriately, he had been dropped from two films yesterday after alleged harassment claims. Andy said that he no longer gropes people, but he did admit to licking people. I think I'd rather be groped than someone come up and just lick me.
That's sort of weird.
Yeah. He did admit to propositioning people, however, on the sets. He said, I'm single, depressed, lonely, and trying to get a date. They can just say no. They probably did, and then I was done, he claims. So a lot of people facing charges of sexual impropriety throughout the entertainment industry. I heard this morning on the drive-in that the national news director for NPR is now being investigated.
Is that right?
For sexual assault that he conducted while he was a bureau chief with the New York Times, and also an account while he was working for NPR as well. So it's everywhere, and people are feeling more and more comfortable to come forward and tell their stories. So
I bet that was a really boring sexual assault, though.
Oh, not
why
gotta funny.
Why got to be like that, man? Why got to be like that?
No. By the way, LA Times just released a story on Brett Ratner. So far, 6 women have come forth.
Wow.
A lot of these are like, well, that's no surprise there.
Yeah, Brett Ratner. Right.
Jeremy Piven.
Right.
Andy Dick. Brett Ratner.
Yeah.
Anyone in NPR.
These are not shocking. What do you got against NPR, man? They do good work.
It's dull.
I was just
it's not dull at all.
Kevin did.
You know,
I love NPR.
It's filled with information, Kevin.
Yeah, dull, though. It's presented in a very dull way.
No, it's just presented in a very matter-of-fact, plain way.
Kevin.
They just give you the information. They just present it.
In a really just, if you want to go to sleep, that's what you listen to way.
Oh, you think words are boring?
The way they say them, yes. Yes, I do.
You know what they do? They speak English. That's all they do.
You know that you can tell a story well, or you can tell a story poorly.
I kind of agree with Kevin.
Thank you.
Support for Pawnee Community Radio comes from the Wendell G. and Muriel Fathright Korbelman Foundation and Sweetums Cares, a nonprofit group that puts umbrella hats on homeless people when it rains.
There you go. How can you say that's boring?
They're protecting homeless people. Kevin knows about delivering information in an exciting way. It's
right?
Kevin.
Thank you.
Kevin, you're always like, what's he saying? He's trying to figure it out. It's like a game and a puzzle and information all at once.
Well, that's just because I can't use the English language.
It's very exciting.
So you hate others who can?
I hate others,
those who can't hate. That's what they've always said. This Jeremy Piven story. Never mind.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no.
Nah.
No, come on. You want to hear it. I think you're right, by the way, whatever it is you're about to say. I think you're right.
Adele is the best. Let's move into a positive direction. Adele's the best.
I agree.
You know how almost every and any musical artist can be seduced into performing a private gig if the money's right?
Yeah, and it's crazy money.
I mean, you can get the freaking Rolling Stones if you're willing to write a big enough check.
And they've done it. Stones have done it. Lady Gaga has done it. Springsteen, I believe, has done it. I mean, regardless of the level of stardom, the best of them can be seduced if the paycheck is right. Well, Guy Sebastian is an Australian singer. And he is friends with Adele. And he was doing an interview with the UK's Daily Star. And he said that Adele was offered $1.3 million to perform two gigs for some Arab billionaires. But she declined the offer by sending them the message, "I'm busy gardening this week."
I love that.
Which either A is the best sort of FU brush off I've ever heard, or if she's actually busy gardening and she decided to keep gardening instead of going to make $1.3 million, that's even better. So, any way you look at it, Adele's the winner of the week. Today's celebrity birthdays, Anthony Kiedis.
Right?
Right. He's 55 years old today. Jenny McCarthy's 45 years old. Yeah. Toni Collette.
Like Jenny McCarthy has finally receded from the public eye a little bit.
No, she's got that talk show on Sirius.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. That's easy to ignore. But, I mean, we don't see her on TV all the time.
Look, trust me.
Yeah.
We've been blessed. Don't get me
Step
wrong.
Step in the right direction.
Yeah. But now all you do is hear her, not see her, which is... Yeah. Direction going in the wrong direction, really.
Right, we're looking for the opposite of that.
Toni Collette is 45 years old today. Boy, she's a talented actress. And actor Penn Jillette celebrates, Penn Badgley celebrates his 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Remember that time when we had Ray Romano on and we had listeners call and do their impression of him?
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the line and they didn't know it?
Right.
I do.
That was awesome.
Is Ray easy to do or hard to do? What do you guys think?
Impossible.
Really?
Yeah, I mean everybody that did it sounded terrible, I thought.
Well, let's go to this guy on line 8 and see how his Ray Romano is. Hello, random caller. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Every intro I get has to be an insult.
No, we're saying you're unique, you're a special snowflake. Your voice is very difficult to impersonate. That's what we're saying.
I think it's the hack impression. I think doing a Ray Romano is kind of hack now because everybody does it. You know, it's too easy. I think it's too easy to do it.
I see.
Oh, interesting perspective.
I mean, maybe, but I think most people do it poorly.
Kevin, why don't you try?
You take Kermit the Frog.
Right.
And just make it, like, nervous, more nervous.
And nervous annoying, Kermit.
Maybe a little more annoying.
Ray, call for a takeout or to make a reservation at a restaurant or something like that, do people always recognize your voice?
Not on the phone, but in person. When I talk in person, like if someone hears my voice, that's how they recognize me. They turn around because they recognize me. But over the phone, I can get away with it. Or I do like a... that's why I'm nervous, though. But that's why I can't have phone sex anymore, because I'm nervous. She'll, you know, I do Jay Leno. I go, hey, what are you wearing?
Can I hear more of your impression of Jay Leno?
That's all I got.
That's pretty good.
By the way, it's not far away from Martin Scorsese. Hey, wait. You know, I don't want to name drop.
No, of course
I'm
not.
I'm working with Martin Scorsese. Whenever I imitate him, it's not far off from Jay Leno. It's pretty quick. Hey, do this. Yeah.
By the way, the reason Mr. Romano is on the show so early today is he is in New York City where he is filming the long-awaited Irishman movie. The cast of this film, Ray, look, you're a great actor.
You are a great actor.
But what the hell are you doing in a movie with Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, and Joe Pesci?
Yeah, I don't belong here. My first scene, I had to introduce De Niro to Pesci while Harvey Keitel was watching us from over in the corner. Yes. And believe me, I resign every night. Before they fire me, I just say, listen, I'll just resign.
Yeah. And you just offered them a letter of resignation every single night?
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. Look, he saw me in vinyl. That's how, I guess I'm in the, he sticks to his guys. There's a lot of guys, even, I know the main, you know all the main actors that he works with over again. But then there's a whole list of guys, like at my level, that he just keeps rehiring. He likes them. If you get into his club, you're in.
Now, are you in the club now because of this?
I don't know. Oh. This is the second one. I had vinyl.
Right.
The thing is this. On vinyl, I auditioned for it. I sent in a tape. So he saw me. He saw me do that character. Now he just hired me without seeing me just from that to play a different character. That's why I'm nervous I'm going to get fired every day. He hasn't really seen me do this. And I'm playing a lawyer. I'm playing like a kind of a not a tough guy looking mob lawyer.
Kind of nerdy.
Kind of nerdy lawyer. Yeah, I think I showed you a picture, right? I look like a bit of a nerdy lawyer. Mm. And they age us. Like, here's the thing. When I'm introducing De Niro to Pesci, De Niro's younger than me. They're gonna CGI. It's when he's 30 years old.
Oh wow!
When it's 40 years old or 50 years old. Yeah. So I not only got to keep that in my mind. He's one of the best actors in the world working with Joe Schmo. I'm older than him. It's crazy. Yeah. I'm breaking out. I swear I have eczema all over my body.
I don't think we need any more of those details.
Well, I can't wait. I mean, we've been all looking forward to this movie for so long. And this is based on the true story, right? This is kind of centered around the disappearance of Jimmy Hoffa, right?
Yeah, it's based on a book called I Heard You Paint Houses, which is that was their slang for trying to find out if a guy will do a hit for them. Mm-hmm. If you do a hit, it means you paint houses. This guy paints houses.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So it's the guy who it's his autobiography when he was kind of at the end of his life, and he told the whole story about how he was Hoffa's guy, and they asked him to do the job. I know there's so many theories about how Hoffa disappeared. This is the guy who's saying this is exactly how it happened.
Kevin, you don't read books because reading is for losers, but doesn't that sound like one that you might even read?
Yeah, it does.
That sounds amazing.
Fascinating, yeah.
All right, Ray Romano is on the phone. He is in New York City. He's a big Scorsese movie star, but he's coming back home this weekend. You have the 11th annual International Myeloma Foundation Comedy Celebration happening. It looks like the biggest and best one yet, Ray. For our listeners who haven't heard about it, what's going on this Saturday night at the Wilshire Ebell?
Yeah, well, I've been doing this now for 11 years, and it's in honor of Peter Boyle. This is the disease that Peter Boyle died from, and his wife puts it together. And we have, it's comedy, and this is the kind of the best lineup we've had. Hannibal Buress, Rachel Feinstein, Robert Klein, Mark Maron, Eliza Schlesinger, Renee Hicks, Nikki Glaser, Fred Willard.
I mean, that's crazy.
Me, the nerdy lawyer with eczema.
Now, are you going to be hosting...
Yeah, I'm the host.
And are you also going to be doing stand-up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Come on. That's what it means.
So I'm saying, you introduce yourself?
Someone introduces me off stage. I come up. I do my funny stuff. I talk about... I'll give you an example. I talk about the best encounter I had in L.A. You meet a lot of weirdos.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just telling you, yes, it's a bit, but this is true.
Okay.
I'm just telling you because it's true.
All right.
This guy... I thought I had met every weirdo, but I had my favorite encounter. This guy saw me. He ran across, broad daylight, runs across the street, runs up to I'm not making that up. So I stand there, and I'm polite. Yeah, I'm polite. I go, hey, no thank you. And this is what got me. He just looks at me and goes, $2.
Like, would it kill you to help a brother out?
Yeah. Dejected.
And I had to tell him, Lizzo, you don't get it. I'm not haggling.
Right. It's a flat no.
Yeah, you can't go lower. That's a great price. You can't go lower.
That really is a good price. That's amazing. All right. Let me give out this information because a very generous offer is being made to the K-Rock listeners. The International Myeloma Foundation's 11th Annual Comedy Celebration with all the big stars Ray Romano just mentioned is happening Saturday, 6 o'clock at the Wilshire Ebell Theater. A special offer for Kevin and Bean listeners right now. If you use the code KROCK, you can get a $100 orchestra ticket for only $50, by the way.
Nice.
to see this lineup. Wow. It's insane. You would pay that just to see almost anyone on this bill alone. And you get to see them all for $50. You go to comedy.myeloma.org. And I know you can't spell myeloma, Kevin and Bean listener.
But nor
we'll
can
put
I.
We'll put the links up at the Kevin and Bean social media. So go to our Facebook and go to the website and go to the Twitter and all that. Comedy.myeloma.org for this Saturday night to see this fantastic lineup. Ray, we love you, man. It's always great to catch up with you. Have fun in New York, and we'll see you this weekend.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
So for the first time in the history of Dodger Stadium, they will be hosting a Game 7 of a World Series tonight.
Yeah! That's lifelong, hard to imagine, isn't it?
It is hard to – I was a very surprising statistic to learn last night. With a long history of the Dodgers and obviously having played in seven-game World Series before, just never at home. And lifelong Dodgers fan Dave Sanchez, King of Mexico, in studio with us right now.
Yes.
How are you holding up, Dave?
You know what? I don't like this. I don't
you
like
don't
this
like
feel.
It.
I don't like this nervousness. And Allie just transferred her nervous poops to us.
Okay.
And
I don't think that's possible, first of all.
Yeah, and now my stomach is just in knots, and I don't know if I like it.
Like last night, were you able to enjoy the game at all, or was it just, as Allie pointed out on social media, a butthole clencher?
Yes, it was a butthole clencher. But you know, like, if you guys go on roller coasters when you're waiting for that drop,
mm-hmm. right?
And when you're on top, you're just like, you're all clenched up.
Yeah.
But as soon as you go through the drop, yeah. you feel so good and relieved and right. so happy. That's how it was at the end of the game.
And as crazy and high-scoring as some of the games have been, last night was the classic pitcher's duel where there was never enough of a lead to relax because a two-run lead on the Astros is not much.
No.
they're so good that they can come back in 5 seconds and get that 2 runs back.
Last night,
you couldn't relax until the last pitch.
Yeah, last night is how Game 2 was supposed to go. Mm-hmm. Where they right. take Rich out early, yeah. and then you know the relievers come in and just you know settle everything down. But no,
what about Rich Hill? How many times he trashed the dugout last night? Nothing was safe. He was throwing everything around.
He was
bats,
not happy.
Helmets, Gatorade, whatever he could find, he was throwing against the wall.
Yeah,
Do you think they get fined or anything for that? You think the managers?
No.
Because
no.
they?
Nah, I don't. I think that's
a lot of destruction going on in there. I don't know. It just seems like...
Well, when he set the field on fire, I thought, that's too far. But I think the dugout is considered a safe space to vent.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I can understand that. We have a few highlights. The first one is what, Dave?
It's
the Astros jumped out to a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, stupid Springer hit a home run in right field. But then Chris Taylor came up and hit a double to tie the game.
Taylor waits. And hits it into right.
Now, there was only one home run hit in the game last night, right?
Nope, two.
There were two, okay.
Yeah, one from the Astros, one from the Dodgers.
Which is low, which is super low for this World Series
yeah,
because it's been nothing but home runs. and the talk was that it was because of the weather? It was because of the...
Because of the moisture in the air.
Moisture
the
in the air
colder.
Just makes... So balls that would have ordinarily gone out just stopped at the warning track because the air
yeah.
was heavy.
If this yeah. was on whatever that was, game two, when it was 104
two,
degrees,
yeah.
that would have sailed like into East LA. Like, ridiculous.
Now, Jock Peterson is 12, 13? How old is he?
He can't be more than that.
Right? He's about 13-ish.
Maybe.
No, he's a baby
yeah.
face.
Yeah.
He got up and he hit a home run for the Dodgers.
1-2.
As well.
Peterson hits it in the air to left. Back at the wall. It's gone. Peterson with his third of the World Series. And he's made it 3-1 Dodgers in the seventh.
He Look. Is the story.
Third home run in the World Series,
right?
Out of nowhere.
Two, three games.
All right, I don't want to throw shade at all because I
well,
love Jock. But what the hell kind of a name is Jock?
It's Jocktober.
I mean, technically, it's Jocktober then.
Yeah,
because it was Jocktober yesterday.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
I would like to know, because they had mentioned it, that he had a bet with Justin Turner about that home run. Because when he was coming in, he was doing like a Money Manziel type of thing to Justin.
Yeah.
I want to know what that bet was, right?
By the way, not the appropriate time to do that. I'm just
saying,
you don't know how the game's going to go.
Here's
so.
The thing. We discussed this yesterday, and yeah. I mentioned it online last night. Yasiel Puig seems like something, the wind has been taken out of his sails. The last three games, his whole demeanor has changed.
He's been sedated.
Yeah, he has. I need him back. I need him licking the bat. I need him sticking out his tongue. I need him being that guy. Yeah. It looks like he's no longer having fun, so I support Jock Peterson doing that.
All right. At one point, Yasiel Puig was heading back to the dugout after an out, and he looked like Michael Cera on Arrested Development. He was doing the sad walk.
Yes.
And it took him like 13 minutes to get back to the dugout. It was so sad.
Oh, man.
So then Jansen comes in as the reliever, and they get six outs for the Astros, which is no easy feat.
Yeah.
And this is the final pitch of the game, making sure that Game 7 takes place tonight at Dodger Stadium.
Good. This series too good to end in six. Dodgers force a Game 7. They win it 3-1.
Was it my imagination, or did the stands look full at the end of that game?
Of course
they were. What are you talking about? Of course.
Because you know what I'm talking about.
Not during a World Series.
The fans have been amazing. They've all been.
You're talking
there.
About people leaving early from sporting events, right?
Yeah.
Especially Dodger fans.
They stayed through the post game. I was watching the post game. People were there losing their minds.
I feel like even people who do leave during the season, when it gets to be the World Series, there's no way you're going anywhere unless
Except
your name is
Beer
Mama Muggs.
Right, exactly. Actor Josh Duhamel, whose name I can never say quite right, by the way. Is Duhamel?
I think it's just Duhamel.
Close? Yeah. Duhamel. You're saying Duhamel.
I think.
All right. He'll be joining us next.
I think Duhamel.
Okay. See? Well, we'll do some research.
Yeah, we got to do it. Stu Mandel is going to be joining us from the CBS KCAL helicopter car chases that we all love so much, except for me. And Joe Buck talking World Series, all coming up here on K-Rock. Last night was Halloween, and Jimmy Kimmel is off all this week, and he has special guest stars each night. Shaq was doing it on Monday night. I think Jennifer Lawrence is later on in the week. He's got a great lineup of guest stars while he's out this week.
To host his show?
To host his show, yes. And last night, ladies and gentlemen, the man who can do no wrong, the man who is great at everything he does, can check another box, because Dave Grohl hosted the program last night. Is there anything this guy can't do?
No, it's a little annoying.
It's unbelievable.
He's great at everything.
And the cold open on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night is Dave is in Jimmy's office looking like Dave Grohl with his flannel shirt on, and he's vacuuming. Right? That's how the show starts, with Dave Grohl vacuuming, and a staffer stops by the office.
Mr. Grohl, they're ready for your hair and makeup. Dave.
Hey, what's up, man?
You're vacuuming.
Yeah, of course. I like to leave a place cleaner than when I first found it, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Those are rock stars like to trash and, you know, hotel rooms and green rooms.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like all the big names. But not you. You're one of the good ones. Really are like a role model.
They do that?
Yeah.
Huh.
So Dave Grohl picks up the vacuum cleaner and smashes it into a glass table.
I have been awakened.
Yeah, we're going to still need you in hair and makeup. It's just leave it. Maybe clean this up later.
Clean it up later. All right, so then they go to the intro of the show, and Dave Grohl comes out. And does Dave Grohl come out? Because David Letterman is who I see on my TV screen walking out to host the show. And I have to tell you, for about 10 seconds maybe, I thought it might be David Letterman.
I mean, it looks 100% like David Letterman.
So much like him. And we know how Jimmy and David Letterman, I mean, David Letterman was just on the Kimmel Show from Brooklyn like a week ago. And I thought, this is unbelievable that he has David. And I didn't think Letterman was going to host the show, but it looked to me for a minute like he was going to introduce Dave Grohl. And then you realize it's actually Dave Grohl dressed up with the hair and the beard and the outfit and everything. And it's uncanny how much he looks like him.
Happy Halloween, everybody. I'm your guest host for tonight, Dave Letterman Grohl. Yes, I'm Dave Grohl, dressed as Dave Letterman, in for Jimmy Kimmel. It's confusing. I get it, especially if you're home watching right now, stone to the bone. And just like Dave, I'd like to announce my retirement from late night TV. Yeah, this will be my final show. It's been quite a ride, though, you know. You may know me from my role as lobby passerby in the 1996 episode of The X-Files, or maybe from my band, The Foo Fighters.
Remember that, by the way? Remember when Dave was on the X-Files because he was just like a super fan?
I don't
And they
really.
Put him on the show, but most people know the Foo Fighters.
It's the second one, I guess. That's fine.
All right. Before we get to his guest, one more joke from the monologue. Dave Grohl as Dave Letterman on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
But, you know, Halloween's changed a lot since I was a kid. Call me old-fashioned, but I feel like we keep drifting further and further away from the meaning of Halloween. And frankly, I'm kind of sick of it. So who wants to meet me after the show in the woods and sacrifice a goat to our dark lord, Satan?
By the way, listen to the crowd giving a rapturous applause to sacrificing a goat and hailing Satan in the woods.
Well, I don't think they're giving an applause to that actually happening as much as that was a joke.
And by the way, no one is less likely to follow Satan than Dave Grohl. All right, so there were two guests on the program last night. Alice Cooper, who was Dave Grohl's boyhood hero, by the way, was one of the guests. And you really should check out the show on YouTube or get it on demand because they do perform together and it's pretty awesome. But the first guest was Kristen Bell, and she is the best. As Dave has been telling us for all these years, by the way. And she came out dressed as Tom Selleck, first of all. She was Magnum P.I. on the show last night. And they got to talking about all things Kristen Bell. She's got that new Bad Moms Christmas movie coming out. And then, of course, the topic came up of Frozen. And Dave Grohl has three little girls at home. So you can imagine his whole life has been Frozen. And he's so geeking out on behalf of his daughters that now he's hanging out with, was she Elsa or Anna, by the way?
Yes, she was
okay.
One of them.
Because you know I never saw Frozen. So it's a huge deal to Dave, and he asks if she's going to sing a song. He asks if you know, maybe she could dedicate it to his girls, and she does.
Violet, Harper, and Fifi, this is for you. Do you want to build a snowman? Come on, let's go and play. I never see you anymore.
By the way, I left a little bit of this in because I never know how much sweetening is done when you have an actor who's not known as a singer when they do these cartoon voices.
Right.
Listen to Kristen Bell singing this song. She's got the voice of a freaking angel, doesn't she?
She does. She sounds great.
Do you want to build a snowman? It doesn't have to be a snowman.
And at this point, Dave Grohl runs from behind the desk and goes over and joins the band and starts playing drums. And then the song takes a turn. And now Kristen Bell is doing a straight up heavy metal act. Now it goes into Enter Sandman, and now Kristen Bell with Dave Grohl and Jimmy Kimmel's Band Live are singing Metallica.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Tuck you in, won't begin, keep you free from sin, till the snowman comes.
It was unbelievable, and on a show where Alice Cooper is the musical guest, Kristen Bell outrocked him by like 1,000.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which is not something I would have expected. So congratulations, Dave Grohl. You're the best human in the world ever. We get
it. LANOC's alternative rock. It's a world-famous K-Rock, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Cupcakes are for closers! No cupcake for you! Put that cupcake down!
These cupcakes in the other room, are they something that you guys made for Halloween?
They are Halloween slash World Series cupcakes.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah, had some people over the house yesterday for Halloween, and we had some cupcakes.
Fantastic.
You know, like you do at parties.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for that. Hey, it's Wednesday morning.
Bean parties are when other people come over to your house?
Yeah, they're invited. You actually ask them to come to your house.
And then say you talk to people, you have fun.
You rejoice in their company.
And maybe you eat.
Much laughter and frivolity, and then there's usually alcohol and food involved.
That does not sound in any way like a thing I would be interested in participating in. It is Wednesday on the Kevin Bean Show. That means the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices straight ahead. First, Rob's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, it finally happened. I knew it was a matter of time. No one can stay at the top of their game forever. You don't just go on and on and on. Sometimes the road comes to an end. And so,
you have something to tell us?
Do we need
to?
Goodbye, Kevin. I just heard in the hallway outside. Some people have come by in suits.
It's been a good run.
They said, empty your locker. No, Bruce Springsteen may have the second most popular show on Broadway right now with his evening with. But he also released a new song.
Uh-oh. I don't like the way you set this up, because you're a big-time Springsteen fan.
Yeah. The song is called Freedom Cadence, and it is on the soundtrack to the movie Thank You for Your Service, starring Miles Teller. And it is about philosophies of battle and war.
Okay.
And you can hear the song over the closing credits of the movie. And so people have taken their recorders in there, and they've recorded the closing credits of the music because it hasn't been released yet. But they put it on the internet. And maybe now we know why it hasn't been released yet.
Really?
And why it's only available on the internet. It is, I don't think he worked long and hard on this, I'm going to say. I think the bus maybe knocked this off in the car on the way to the airport or something. I'm just guessing. I don't know. You tell me. Let's take a listen to the new Springsteen song, Freedom Cadence.
Some say freedom is free, but I tend to disagree. I say freedom is won through the barrel of a gun. Had a brother in Iraq. He didn't come back. But as one do soldiers gotta die.
It's that over and over again. For the entirety.
It's
of
a
the
dirge.
Song.
Usually that would be on the soundtrack if it's over the credits, but they're not putting that on there?
I don't know if the soundtrack's been released yet.
Oh, okay.
I just know that's the version that's circulating now on the internet.
Hmm. I mean, I don't need it.
It's a piece of dirge. It's a piece of dirge.
It is a piece of dirge.
It's absolutely a piece of dirge. And it's just to him making the barest of rhymes over that that rhythm over and over again.
It's like a song they left out of Les Mis. Isn't it? If Les Mis was about Iraq.
Right.
But still, you know what I'm saying? It has that same...
I had a brother in Iraq, and he didn't come back. I can't think of enough syllables to fill the line, so I'll hold didn't for a while.
I mean, if we have to check in with Mr. Springsteen tomorrow to find
something's up.
What do you think it could be?
He just where's the work ethic is what I'm asking for. That's all. Hey, can you write a song about the Iraq vets for our movie? Sure. Well, you know, don't take the job if you're not going to put some work in it. A little elbow grease, Bruce.
But this is a guy who's written some of the best songs about war.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is not one of those.
No, I don't think it goes on. It's not just below Born in the USA.
Some say freedom is free. I choose to disagree. Wow. Poetic.
It does sound like an In the Ride in the Car Over song.
Hey, you like The Voice? Hey, you like The Voice? You guys like The Voice?
I gotta tell you, I do.
Wow, Kevin.
I do.
Wow.
Odd response.
Oh, my God.
Well, Kevin hates singing competitions.
Right,
so
hates singing and competitions.
But my daughter loves it, so then I
and
started
Carson
watching.
And Carson Daly. He's always bagging on Carson Daly.
No, I love Carson.
Yeah. Blake Shelton, you got in a fight with Blake Shelton once.
He
fist
did.
Fight,
right? Right. That's right, he did.
Yeah, Kevin got a drunken fist fight with Blake Shelton once.
No idea.
It's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you like The Voice, now you can see The Voice Neon Dreams. Ooh, it's an awful name for
I'm
a show.
Sorry?
It's the new voice show in Vegas. It's going to be opening in 2018 at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, and will feature winners from previous seasons all banding together to perform all your favorite voice hits.
Oh. Can I ask a qualifying question?
Yes.
Is there still booze and gambling in Vegas?
But take a break and go see Allison Porter from season 10. Or Chris Mann from season 2. Or Mary Sarah from season 10 also.
Wow. All these big stars on one show.
Or Matthew Sculler from season 5. And, of course, Matt McAndrew from season 7.
Oh, I'm glad they got Matt.
Yeah.
Right. So, all your voice favorites in one favorite voice.
I mean,
show.
I guess we shouldn't be surprised. American Idol did tours every year in their heyday, remember?
But you knew who they were.
Right.
You knew what songs they
did. I guess
if
you watch The Voice, you probably know who these people are.
I still don't think so.
You do.
No.
You know.
Do they have a chair that flips around? I mean, it might be worth it just for that.
Every chair in the venue spins around. Yeah. You have to hit a button in order to watch the show. And then it comes back around. It's very frustrating. Every 30 seconds your chair turns around. Carson Daly serves drinks. It's odd. It's an odd show. Today's celebrity birthday is Red Hot Chili Peppers lead singer Anthony Kiedis celebrates his 55th birthday. Jenny McCarthy, former Playboy Playmate of the Year, of course, and TV show host for lots of different things. And now she is doing radio. 45. Toni Collette is also 45. And Penn Badgley is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Later this hour, Josh Duhamel on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about Call of Duty, World War II. Very excited about that. And then we're going to talk to Stu Mundell, who is my hero. He's a helicopter pilot that covers all of the car chases.
Which I don't think he's the pilot.
He's the announcer.
I think he's a reporter.
He's the broadcaster.
He's a reporter.
Yes.
I don't think he's actually flying the helicopter while he's looking down on the ground and doing reporting and shooting it.
I believe that's true as well. I think you're right.
Then stop calling him the pilot.
Okay.
All of that coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock, and Joe Buck, too, and from the World Series. Hey, he's doing a great job again this season, by the way.
Oh, is he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, no.
Oh. Well, this is a hell of a game, isn't it?
He's not wrong. Hell of a game. First, though, I'm glad you're in here, Ralph, because it's your favorite feature of the whole week. It's Wednesday. That means it's time for the Wheel of Bata Animal Voices.
Yeah.
Exciting, right?
Mm.
Wait till you hear the stories on the wheel this time.
Okay. I'll wait.
The Iditarod dogs busted for doping. The stoned fish with anxiety.
Oh.
Oh, he's stoned and has anxiety?
The tiny kitten that needs a butthole.
I'm sorry?
Don't we all? You're the kitten.
But I think that's the point, is this kitten maybe born without a butthole.
How fat is that kitten?
I don't know.
How big's the kitten?
I don't know.
It's like a balloon.
The dog fired by the CIA.
Well, it's hard to keep a job.
The world's oldest gay turtle. And the bear.
I'm sorry. What?
The world's oldest gay turtle.
Okay.
The world's oldest gay turtle.
Yes.
Not like all those young gay turtles you see these days.
Yeah, so boring.
Just running around being all gay turtly.
And the bear with the monstrously enlarged tongue.
Sure. You don't want that if you're a bear.
So those are the stories. Let's do it, shall we?
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
I don't mind some gay turtles if it lands on that, but I'm also intrigued by the bear with the monstrously large tongue as well.
Come
How about
on,
you, Allie?
Kitten,
what are you waiting for? Oh, you want the
kitten? Yeah, I kind of want the
butthole,
too. Yeah.
She wants the It's the bear with the monstrously enlarged tongue.
Yay! I'll take it. I mean this story.
Right.
I'm about it.
Have you seen video of this bear?
It's unreal.
It's so sad.
It's so awful. Asiatic, is that how you say it? Asiatic,
yes.
A black bear in Myanmar, and he had a tongue that was so swollen that when he walked, it would drag on the ground.
Aww.
It's a birth defect or something, or something happened to him after he was born?
I don't know. We're going to talk to some specialists in a second, like we do, Bean.
Okay. But the good news is, and we wouldn't bring this up if there were not a happy result, is that there has been surgery. They brought in a veterinary team, and they were able to operate. And, Allie, how much tongue did they remove of this young bear?
Oh, nearly 7 pounds of tongue.
7 pounds of tongue.
Oh,
we could have used this bear yesterday when we were trying to find out how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop, man. He would have made short work of that. But he's got to be so much happier now to not have 7 pounds of tongue around.
I would think so. Who do we have? Do we have one of the surgeons?
Yeah, probably from University of Edinburgh.
Okay.
I assume so.
Let's check in. Hello?
Hello? Oh, the bear's nearby, it sounds like.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey,
who's this? Doctor?
Nyanhulu.
This is what?
Nyanhutu.
Oh. You're the bear, the 18-month-old bear that had the operation.
Yes.
Oh, how are you feeling?
Not great.
Not great.
No.
It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. It is kind of a bummer.
Hey, Nyanhutu, hang on 1 second. Cool. I was trying to figure out how the bear ended up with a huge tongue. Apparently, I read here now that an infection may have been caused by a mosquito transmitted strain of elephantiasis.
Yeah, you read the story. Are you reading it during a bit?
That's a great question.
Yeah. Maybe a little reading before you pick up the phone.
I would have certainly had more information to set this up.
Yeah.
So, how did this surgery go?
It was all right.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like maybe it's still pretty swollen.
Oh, yeah. Well, they cut 7 pounds out of it.
What's that? I'm sorry?
They cut 7 pounds of hung out of it.
They did cut 7 pounds.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's going to hang a wall. They're like, it's going to go down.
It's, what? Sorry.
It's going to take a while.
Take a while.
For the swelling to go down.
Swelling,
oh,
swelling to go down.
Got it.
Swelling to go down.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
And then will you have a normal mouth, normal tongue, be able to live a regular, normal life like all the other little bears?
They say my tongue will only be a little bit longer.
Okay. Oh, really?
Okay. All
right. Yeah. Which makes my girlfriend very happy.
Oh,
okay.
Right?
That's an upside then.
Yeah. For eating the honey. Bears love honey.
Yes, right. They do.
Don't
that's what you're talking about.
On me. Oh, we're so scared. Bear, we eat honey, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
Oh, what a bunch of pussies.
I mean,
you gotta be careful when you put a bear on the radio. You just never know what they're gonna say.
No, we don't know the rules.
Right, that's what we're saying.
I'm a bear.
Right.
Hey, I'm a bear.
Right.
Got it. This series too good to end in six. Dodgers force a game seven. They win it 3-1.
And that game seven is tonight at Dodger Stadium, where they have never had a seventh game of the World Series.
That's crazy.
Listen to Kevin dropping baseball knowledge on K-Rock right now, by the way. Listen to Kevin talking about it like he knows what he's talking about, because he does.
He's got the fever.
I do know baseball and played baseball, but it's quite a boring sport to watch. However, I'm sort of caught up in this World Series because of all my friends who are crazy excited.
Mm-hmm. And because
Christine was texting me last night like a crazy person. She was just bouncing off the walls.
And you're caught up because the action on the field has been exciting, because every game has been great to watch. That's why. Baseball itself is great.
I mean, next season when baseball rolls around,
you're right there.
I'm still not in.
Okay.
And yet I'm really enjoying this World Series.
You're Kevin's season ticket writer next year is what
I'm not. I am not that.
All right. We've been talking about the Dodgers all day long. There's a couple of things we haven't gotten to that are worth breaking down. First of all, Dave, I was unaware of this. I missed this. Did this happen pregame, the Lasorda thing you were telling us off air?
Postgame.
What happened?
How would it happen pregame?
Yeah, how would it?
I don't know. I mean, Tommy Lasorda had some words for Dave Roberts. I wasn't sure when they happened.
Yeah, after the game, Dave Roberts was walking out to his post-game press conference, and Lasorda stops him and says, hey, they tell him, Dave, you want to – Lasorda wants to say a couple words to you. And he's like, Tommy, hi. And Lasorda says, you haven't won until you win tomorrow.
Now, why would he take the time to say that to Dave Roberts, who clearly already knows that? What was he trying to do?
To pump him up. I don't know.
Does that pump you up?
Yeah. Like, dude, because this is Tommy Lasorda.
Right?
You listen to everything he has to say.
I don't know. I don't think it was bad. I think maybe it was partly joke and partly true.
It's 100% Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Of course he said that. And he did it in front of the press room. He did it to get the joke, which he got the laughs. But, yeah.
Okay.
Off Lasorda's back.
Right.
Why?
I love Tommy. I was just trying to figure out what he hoped to accomplish with that. Does it make Dave Roberts feel better as he's walking up to the podium?
I think it was probably mostly a joke and also partly true. And of course, and Dave Roberts knew that.
All right. It's fine. Then.
You're all right with it?
He accepts it.
I'll allow it. Now, Tommy Lasorda is not at all involved in anything that happens on the field anymore, right? Because he seems to be in the stands during the game.
No, he's just a Dodger. I think he's a
mascot.
Not a mascot, but he's like a consultant. He's an
ambassador type.
Yeah, ambassador to the game. He's at every single Dodger game, home Dodger game, I should say.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. He's been with the team, 68 years now?
By the way, speaking of people who've been at games for 68 years, I did see at one point last night Larry King stood up.
I saw that.
It took him a while.
Yeah.
Took him a while, but he was able to stand.
That was amazing.
Someone was holding him up.
No one looks more miserable at a World Series game than Larry King. He's just sitting there just hunched over with his arms wrapped around himself with a big scowl on his face.
And you know he's not because he's been a lifelong Dodger fan and he sits in those seats for every game. You know he's not dull. He's not bored. But, man, tell your face.
He doesn't show it.
Just
he doesn't
tell
show.
Your face.
All right. Thing two. What about the poor lady who had the Jock Peterson home run ball hit her right in the stomach? What about her?
Oh, man. How many adults bring gloves to get baseball games?
Way too many.
Are there?
Way too many.
Because there was a guy out in, it was left field, right?
Left field, yes.
And the home run ball came
right at him.
No, yeah.
He reached out with his glove and barely missed it, and then I think it was his wife that hit in the stomach.
Right in the stomach.
So nice work.
Yeah, if you're going to bring a glove, be ready to make a catch that comes right to you, sir.
I would think so. I mean, I also assume that you have to be thinking, what are the chances that there's going to be a home run, and it's going to come right to me, even though you have a glove and you know you're in left field and you know it's possible. The chances have to be astronomical.
But, I mean, those fans out there, they know how to catch. Well, at least some
most
of them do.
Most of them.
I mean, look at the guy who caught Turner's home run and caught 10 other ones. He's out there leaning over, catching the ball.
Yeah.
There's people with babies on their hip or a beer
or
in their
beer,
hand that catch the ball. He straight up had a glove.
Yes.
Like, it's coming. All right. Oh, sorry, wife.
Oh. So what do you think she's getting?
Oh, you mean as a present?
As a present, because you know.
I'm sorry for being a terrible baseball.
You know on the way home, she's like, you know that was on TV,
yeah.
Right?
And the sad part is they updated the story. They didn't even get the ball.
No,
another
no.
fan got the ball.
Are you kidding?
Yeah,
it
bounced
off of her.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
He's a complete fail, that guy.
What a loser.
It didn't go his way.
No, it did not.
All right, how's everybody feeling about tonight? A lot of people were expecting the pitcher's duel that happened last night. What are we expecting from tonight? Because I got to be honest when I tell you that Yu Darvish, although he is a good pitcher, does not inspire great confidence after his last performance.
But all of the pitchers got destroyed Sunday.
Kershaw didn't do great. Let's be honest, Verlander didn't do great last night.
For the first four innings or whatever.
By the way, Verlander got knocked out twice.
Exactly.
Yeah, because he was undefeated because he got a no decision in the second game.
Mm-hmm.
They hit him.
But I think that's what makes it so hard to guess, is that there's no way to know. Last night, there wasn't as many hits or home runs, but Sunday night, there was everything.
And I thought Verlander was great last night until the sixth inning, by the way. He was great last night.
That's wonderful.
But I'm saying that's a lot of good pitching.
I thought it was great that they showed Kate Upton a lot. But
you like that?
Yeah. I did like it.
I ain't mad at that.
Here's the thing. Yu Darvish will do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have a reliever come in.
And that'll be
Kershaw.
Kershaw, right?
And my friend brought up a great point. He said, for all of you saying that Kershaw's not great in October, guess what? It's November.
Ah.
Yeah! Right, kids?
Right,
Let's
kids.
Let's do this.
Car Chase King Stu Mandel joins us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we'll catch up with our old friend Joe Buck, who tonight will be at Dodger Stadium calling Game 7 of the World Series. By the way, this could be very embarrassing if I'm wrong, but I swear I thought I saw Josh Duhamel in the stands at one of these World Series games. Am I high, you guys?
Well, I don't know. You could ask him.
Oh, is he on the phone?
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Yes, I'm going to be there tonight, baby.
You're going to be there tonight. That's amazing.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I got a call from an old friend a couple of days ago saying, hey, you want to go to the game? I said, yeah.
What kind of question is that?
Tickets were $12,000. I was like, yes, I'm kind of a sort of nut. I said, where are you sitting in the dugout? No, he's like, they're like middle seats somewhere.
All right.
Oh,
which
my God. You
crazy
have got to
how
be,
much those seats are going for.
It is insane. You have got to be so excited. I can't even imagine. I mean, the fans have, we were just talking about this earlier, Josh, the fans have so turned out for this series, and I can't imagine what the energy is going to be like at game time tonight.
Well, it's been the best World Series I think I've ever seen. I mean, I'm trying to think back.
It's tough to argue.
What's that?
I mean, that's tough to argue. It's tough to find one that's better.
You know, just the clutch hitting has just been unbelievable.
Yep. Well, listen, we got a lot of stuff we want to talk to you about. We're so grateful to have you back on the program. We'll get to Call of Duty, which comes out Friday in 1 minute. But I saw something on you yesterday that surprised me, which is that you are the face of North Dakota.
I am. I am the poster boy for North Dakota.
Is that official or is that just a nickname?
Is that an elected position?
No. That's an actual thing. They came to me a couple of years ago and asked me if I wanted to do this campaign to promote tourism, you know, promote people to come visit North Dakota. They were the 50th most visited state, so I was like, well,
I hope you highlight that in your ads.
I can only be successful.
Why do people not come here? That's how it should start.
I got sick of people saying, you know what? I've been to 49 of the states, but the one state that I was like, I know what you're going to say.
That is so funny. Now, I've been through North Dakota a couple of different times, and I'm not one of these people who believes that the only places worth visiting are on the coast. I have a lot of respect for so much of the middle parts of this country that I think is beautiful, and they have wonderful people there and fun stuff.
But North Dakota?
I'm trying to think, what's the thing I should remember from North Dakota? Obviously, South Dakota has Mount Rushmore, but what's the thing in North Dakota that I must have gone to if I visited there, Josh?
Well, probably the Badlands in the western part of the state. They're beautiful. Teddy Roosevelt National Park, that's probably the most beautiful part. But, you know, just driving down those, you can go 40 miles before you hit another city. You know, it's just beautiful, just open. For me, that's what I love about it.
I've never heard a gig like this before. Like, are there other celebrities that are the face of a state?
I don't know. Well, I'm not the face of the state. I'm just the face of the campaign trying to get people to go to the state.
I think there should be some sort of you should have to fight the face of South Dakota to declare the king of the Dakotas.
Like a cage match, like a no holds barred.
Yes, and it's probably Tom Brokaw, so you could probably take him.
Angie Dickinson's from South Dakota.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right. Now we're getting somewhere.
I'm pretty sure I could take her.
Josh DeBella's on the phone. The reason we have him is Call of Duty World War II launches this Friday, November 3rd on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. How different is it for you, Josh, as an actor who's done so much stuff, to be doing something for Call of Duty versus movies and TV?
You know, I guess at the end of the day, it's the same, but just the process of doing it is so much different. You're wearing these funny-looking suits with these little reflector balls all over, and you've got these helmets with these cameras flashing in your face. And you're reenacting these scenes. And by the way, the reason I really did it was because the story was just unbelievable. And so it's almost like doing theater in this weird sort of matrix, knowing that, you know, at some point they're gonna go in and they're gonna redigitize everything and they're gonna make it look exactly like you in, you know, World War II uniform. So, you know, it's different once you get past all of the stuff that you're wearing and looking into, but it was really fun. It took us about a year and a half to shoot.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you ever
at any point while wearing the suit, you know, run out for food or something? Because I would have gone to a mall. I would have walked through it.
Well, just going outside to get some fresh air, people walking down the street would look at you like, oh my God, what are they doing in there?
The pressure is always on anytime there's a new version of an insanely popular game. And by the way, for folks who don't know, Call of Duty has over 30 million players around the world. They always need to up the ante somehow and make it more of something. What have they improved from previous Calls of Duty?
Well, I think that the fans are really excited about this one being boots on the ground again. You know, I think they felt as if they were getting a little bit too futuristic. At least some of the fans were.
Mm-hmm.
And the response has been that they've been really excited that this is going back to its roots, which was World War II. And you know, when they first started this game, I believe it was the first one was a World War II Call of Duty. But now with all the new, you know, improvements technologically, just the things that they can do, it's just almost photo real, the stuff that they can. I watched 10 minutes of this thing, and I swear to God, I had PTSD afterwards.
I'm not positive that's good.
I'm not sure that's a great, but it is like it is immersive, and I think, you know what? Another thing that I loved about it too, when I sat with the guys at Sledgehammer and Activision, is they were really adamant about making sure that this thing was historically accurate. They wanted to do it respectfully. I think it gives a whole new generation of people. And a perspective on what those young men went through.
Yeah, back absolutely.
In World War II.
Josh, before we let you go, I know you're also involved with different veterans organizations as we roll out this Call of Duty. The Call of Duty Endowment is a charity that you're working with. Tell us about that, if you would.
Well, it's just about helping veterans who've been injured coming back, helping them get back on their feet, helping them get back into livable situations.
A lot of times these houses that they come back to aren't adapted to some injuries that they may have incurred. So, you know, it's just it's really just about helping veterans who've come back injured with PTSD, with something that, that will just, it's just a way to help them get back into the real world.
That's great.
And you have quite the tie. Your aunt moved up the ranks, correct?
She did. My aunt was a lieutenant colonel in the National Guard. She was over in she was Kuwait. She was I think she went to Afghanistan. She did a couple of tours, and yeah, she's seen a lot. But that's Barb, though. She's like the most. She's the most amazing woman I've ever.
And a nurse and a lawyer.
And a
are you kidding me with this?
Oh, and by the way, it's her birthday Friday.
Oh.
You guys should wish her a happy birthday. Well, maybe you should call her at the hospital in Indianapolis.
Let's do it. I'm in.
CallOfDutyEndowment.com for information on the charity. CallOfDuty.com to find out more about the game. World War II Call of Duty comes out this Friday. PS4, Xbox One, and PC. It does sound awesome. Josh, we always enjoy spending a few minutes with you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So thanks a lot for coming on, dude.
Thanks for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 8.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. What is going on?
Well, got to feel bad for MTV's Farrah Abraham. You may remember her as the backdoor teen mom.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Well, looks like she has been booted from the cast of Teen Mom OG, which is apparently a thing on MTV. I guess it's the original teen girls that Dr. Drew knocked up. And
he didn't knock up any of them.
I think Ralph's right on that.
I'm sure that's how it works. I didn't watch the show, but I remember him. All I remember is he impregnated a bunch of girls, and then they interviewed him.
So.
I think that's how it works.
And it was weird that he never faced any kind of charges for that, too. People just let him skate.
You know, in this day and age, it would have been all different. You know, the culture has changed, but I guess Dr. Drew get away with that
stuff. He didn't get anyone pregnant.
Yeah. I don't even think he a doctor.
That's right. sources are telling Us Weekly magazine that. Can you imagine why they don't want her on the show anymore?
Oh, is it because of her porn?
It's because of the porn, sure. Oh, yeah, it's okay. Because of all the porn. Because of the porn. Which I think is kind of ballsy for MTV to call somebody out on their questionable taste choices. Because it's MTV.
Yeah.
Right. Folks who gave us Buck Wild.
Yeah. Right.
So bite me, MTV.
By the way, and I know we've talked about this in the past, Ralph, and I think you agree with me on this, it's insane how much discrimination there is on people who do porn.
Yeah.
Insane.
It's not
legal, valid choice.
It's not against the law.
Right.
She is a person of legal consent, and she can make money any way she wants to. Don't get me
voluntary.
Wrong. I think she's repugnant as a person, but I think she's not doing anything wrong in terms of what your career choices may be.
Yeah, fire her because she's awful, not because she's naked.
You know, it's funny. Ginger Lynn, my friend Ginger Lynn, did a story recently in light of all this Harvey Weinstein stuff and everything that's come out. She, for decades, has been telling people, anyone who listened, how Ron Jeremy sexually assaulted her. And everyone listened and went, well, but you're in porn, you know?
Is that right?
And so insinuating in some way that she had it coming because of her chosen profession. But anyway, I did like Farrah Abraham's response to being fired. She did lash out on Facebook and saying, as a business mogul, see, then I'm out.
What?
See, now I can't be on your side.
Is she talking about someone else?
No. As a business mogul, I act like an adult and take part in adult promotions and activities that other adults do for free or in private. See, you're an idiot. That's what the problem is. It's not that you're in porn, it's that you're an idiot. So if MTV had come out and said, you know what, we fired her from the show because she's an idiot, I would have said, good for you, MTV.
Good choice.
Why can't people do the right thing? All right. Speaking of doing the right thing, looks like Netflix has canceled House of Cards. They were going to end the series after the upcoming sixth season as a result of Kevin Spacey's alleged attack on a 14-year-old boy decades ago. But now they decided not to even shoot the rest of the series.
I wonder if that was a tough decision for them, because isn't that one of their most popular series?
You know, I think they've got plenty of play out of it. It was the one that sort of put them on the map in terms of producing original dramatic content. But even fans of the show have said, really, it's sort of dropped off in quality in the past
season. I haven't watched the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I think the heat is off it pretty much. So they got
They got a good run out of it, and I think it's better for them to make the right decision than it is for them to keep that show on the air. So they are suspending production of the last few shows of that season. They're just going to pack it in. So no more of that.
Sucks for everyone else on the show.
It does.
It really does.
Don't get me wrong. I think one of the big tragedies about all of these allegations, beyond obviously the victims, is the people that get caught up in the orbit around these people who get peripheral damage done to their lives and livelihoods because of the despicable behavior.
And had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched my friend Kevin Smith go through some real pain and soul-searching because of his long-standing connection to Harvey Weinstein, both at Miramax and the Weinstein Company, which did a bunch of movies with Kevin. And he doesn't know how to bounce back from it. He's having a hard time reconciling the fact that he was ever in business with a person who's capable of doing these things, and without his knowledge, and now in retrospect, he feels decades of guilt about something he had nothing really to do with. So it's one of those pebble in the pond scenarios where the ripples just keep going and going and going, mm-hmm. and affect all kinds of good people. So
I remember when we talked about it after the Cosby thing broke, about all those actors on that show who lived off of the residuals of the Cosby Show being on in syndication.
Yeah.
And they just got pulled from everywhere through no fault of theirs.
Yep.
Just took away their income.
Yeah. These people affect the lives of a lot of people, even above and beyond the victims of their crimes. So it's sad news. Selena Gomez has been named Billboard Magazine's 2017 Woman of the Year. She's being honored at the annual Woman in Music Dinner and Gala at the Dolby Ballroom in Los Angeles. President of Billboard, John Amato, said, "Not only is Selena soaring on the charts, but she continually inspires young women everywhere to be authentic, give back, and not be afraid to use their voice."
Selena! Selena! Miss Gomez, Selena! God damn it!
Hard hit interview with Beer Mug there.
John Amato said, unless she gets back together with Bieber, then we're not giving her the award. He said, I think he's got a point there.
Good for him.
That would show bad judgment on her part. Keith Wilder, lead singer for the band Heatwave, has passed away. Boy, I liked Heatwave.
Me too.
Back in the day, they had a bunch of hits. Kevin, you remember all their hits. Name one Heatwave hit. You know.
It's Hot in Here.
Sure. It's Hot in Here was one of their big hits. Also, hey, what a wave of heat this
right?
is. That was another one.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Standing here in the sun sure is warm. That was my favorite.
That was a good one.
I didn't know any
Sweat,
either.
Sweat, Sweat. Remember that one?
You know Heatwave songs, Kevin.
I may if after you say them, but
do
can
you
I...
not have Jack FM in your car? What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't ever listen to that.
Always and forever.
Okay, I know that song.
Sure.
This moment with you.
Sure, I know that.
Is just like a dream to me.
I mean, but that's about my limit of listening
that
to it.
Somehow came true.
That's a great song, man.
Oh, one of the great
songs.
Is
there a
songs.
Wedding where that song hasn't been played?
The best. How about Boogie Nights?
Oh, yeah.
Dance with the boogie, get down. Because boogie nights are always the best in town. Got to keep on dancing, keep on dancing.
How old was he?
He was 65.
Oh.
65. And this band was awesome because there was an international funk soul band. Which with a bunch of white dudes in it. And they would dress up in like those fantastic 70s funk costumes, like Earth, Wind, and Fire, when you see them with the big collars and the spangles and the things and the spandex and stuff. And these poor white guys would have to dress up in the same clothes as the black guys. And the black guys would look really cool in it. And the white guys would look really white in it. That always made me laugh. But Rod Temperton, who was the keyboardist for that band, went on to work with Michael Jackson. He wrote Rock With You and Thriller and a bunch of other stuff.
No,
and
no
he
kidding.
Was a white dude. And Quincy Jones would say to him, "I cannot believe you're not black."
And he just died a few months ago, too, by the way.
Rod Temperton. In 2016.
Yeah, very sad.
Last year.
Can I hear a little of the groove line while we're heat waving out here, Ralph? Can you do a little groove line for me?
Groove line. I can't remember groove line.
Bean?
I can't.
Get
I don't know.
Line. Line.
Little groove line.
You're riding on the groove line tonight.
Ooh, ooh.
I mean, we wanted you to do the song, though.
I don't know any of the words to the groove line, but that was another big heat wave.
That was.
Sad to hear the man who died, whose name I don't know.
You're riding on the groove line tonight. Boop,
boop. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Today's celebrity birthdays. Anthony Kiedis is 55 years old today. TV show and radio host Jenny McCarthy is 45. Don't forget to get your kids vaccinated. Toni Collette's 45. And Penn Badgley celebrates his 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Joe Buck, who once again this year is behind the mic calling the World Series, is going to be doing that for Game 7 at Dodger Stadium tonight versus the Astros. He'll be joining us next hour here on the Kevin Beach Show. Speaking of the Dodgers, by the way, Yasiel Puig, after Sunday night's loss in Houston, that crazy 13-12 game, was not the least bit worried. He said, my team is not going to be finished on Tuesday. There's going to be a Game 7. Mm-hmm. He guaranteed the outcome that happened. And he joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Yasiel, how are you, sir?
Yasiel Puig.
Oh, you're back. You're happy again.
Of course I'm happy. I told you many times. I said, hey, my team's not going to lose. Mm-hmm. There's going to be Game 7. I mm-hmm. promise you.
Right.
And I'm going to make you a promise because Kevin and B and G and Ali, you are all my friends. Mm-hmm. I love you so much. I'm going to make you another promise right now.
Okay, please.
Oh, wow, great.
I guarantee there's going to be a Game 9.
Oh.
I mean, it's a seven-game series.
Guarantee, baby. You see a Puig. Okay. Ding 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 Viva la Cuba, viva la Cuba.
The winner of tonight's game wins the World Series. It's over no matter what.
Champion. That's right. All right, great. Yeah.
Right.
Champions.
All right,
game 9 coming up. Coming your way. Two
tonight,
more games.
Tonight.
We guarantee it. Yasiel Puig. All right, I'll be there.
One game.
You're gonna be there. I'll be there.
Oh dear.
You're gonna be there. It's gonna be great. I'm gonna lick my bat.
Yes, you are. You do. That's not a euphemism, folks. He's literally talking about licking his bat. All right, a couple things we have to ask you about last night's game. In fact, Ali, why don't you take the lead on this? Because you had some very real concerns watching from home.
Listen, I just feel like. You're not having as much fun anymore.
Oh,
you're not
yeah.
jumping around. You're not.
Oh,
you're not sticking
yeah, not
out your
jumping.
Tongue. You're not doing.
I'm not sticking out my tongue.
You look like yeah. you're a little bum last
a
night.
A little uh-huh. subdued the last few
Ooh,
games, and I need.
Subdued.
You're
subdued.
Just repeating
okay.
everything I'm saying. I just.
Yeah.
I need the
uh-huh.
old Yasiel back.
You have such a pretty mouth.
I appreciate that.
Depending
on what happens
bad,
next.
Bad things. So, you know how I lick my bat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
You
see,
I
take
let
it this
talk.
Let the man
your face
speak.
With my big blue hair.
Uh-huh.
You know what's troubling to me, Yasiel Puig? I was singing my, you know, I try to meditate. Yasiel Puig meditate.
Okay. You do?
And last night, after the victory, I go home, I meditate. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, hey, it's not very funny how they make fun of Kenta Maeda and Yu Darvish when they do the Asian thing with the eye.
Right, yeah, it's terrible.
That's not nice. It's very,
no.
it's
right.
very disrespectful. I'm going to have to murder everyone on the Astros in their sleep.
Oh, No, I'm not positive. That's
not a guarantee. No, Kevin and Bean show. That's right. Yasiel Puig, paint his hair blue, murder everybody.
I don't think that's the answer.
I think he means with his bat tonight.
Yasiel Puig.
You mean murder him at the plate. Right?
I'm sure there's some kind of liability in America if you want to go with murder them with the bat at the plate instead of murder them for real. Okay, it's great. Yes, you're
okay. All right. And the other thing from last night, Yasiel, that we wanted to talk to you about is what was going on with all the crazy hand signals that you were giving to Chris Taylor before he got his hit?
Well, actually, I knew I was on TV. Yasiel Puig on TV.
Right.
When he want to see him play baseball, they put him on TV.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually signaling my day trader to, you know, work with my portfolio in a certain way. And I actually came up with a nice 7% increase by the time the end of the game. Yes, you're
right. Wow. You're a multitasker.
That's fantastic.
Nasdaq. I make Nasdaq my bitch.
Could we have a prediction, since you predicted there would be a Game 7, can we have a prediction on the outcome and the score of tonight's game against the Astros, please, Yasiel?
Yeah, Yasiel Puig say Dodger win. Mm-hmm. 3-1, Yasiel Puig get the save.
You're not going to be.
I don't think you're a pitcher, are you?
Well, actually, we don't know that, do we?
You don't know, do you? You don't know that, that's right.
Well, I mean, you haven't yet.
You don't know for sure, Bob. One thing you know for sure, Yasiel Puig can lay the pipe.
And if I get a World Series win tonight, the first place I stop is going to be Ally McKay House.
Okay.
And I'm going to wreck her.
Well, I'm in. Okay.
There's going to be an echo every time you talk to her after I get
deal. Deal.
All right, Stu, we call these cans.
Cans.
Uh-huh. And then this is a microphone.
Microphone.
And you talk into
to
the
microphone.
Right.
This is all new to me.
And then people can hear you.
Who?
Stu Bendel is here.
Yeah, he is.
How about that?
Yeah?
Welcome.
I am so stoked to be here. You have no clue. Kevin and Bean, K-Rock, and that's not like a plug, and I'm sure you guys hear it all the time, but I am so happy to be here.
You grew up here.
I grew up out here. Mm-hmm. I grew up here listening to you guys. For real.
Yes, Bean?
I was going to ask you. You listened before Kevin and Bean, even though when you grew up, you know, even before our show got on the air.
I heard the first song I heard on K-Rock, it's ingrained in my mind, was Trio's Da Da Da. And I think it was at a Zodi's. They went out of business. And I remember being a kid and hearing that and going, "What is that?" And looking on the radio. And then I back then you had to remember it. And
sure.
And then from then on in, I listened to K-Rock for.
I
forever.
Love that song. I still love that song when I hear that. You know the song he's talking about, Kevin? The da da da.
Yes.
I don't like you. You don't like me. That By the way, Stu, you'll love this. Richard Blade on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow.
No way.
Stopping by. He's got a book out. Yeah. So that's your era.
Is he still doing the dive thing like in Bermuda?
No, he's on the Sirius satellite radio and he's doing a bunch of stuff around town. We'll catch up with young Dick Blade tomorrow on the show. But it's so great to have you here. You are, your job title, is this what you put on your tax returns, is aerial photo journalist?
You know what I write on there? I write photographer just because I don't, you know, the other one sounds so. I don't know. It sounds so posh.
It does sound like you're trying too hard.
Yeah, exactly.
A little, yeah.
Exactly. So I'm a photographer. When people ask me what I do, I'm just like, I work in television.
Here's some of Stu's work.
Oh my God. She's trying to take the LAPD cruiser. Whoa! Praying that it does not. Whoa! Whoa!
Whoa!
Whoa! Whoa!
There we go. Making another turn onto another major. Also got to let you guys know, if you're listening in your local, I'm going to be on Kevin and Bean on Wednesday.
That's today.
So Wednesday morning, Kevin and Bean. It is pretty nifty.
Thank you for the plug, Sue. Appreciate that. So how long have you been our eye in the sky for CBS television in L.A.?
Well, for CBS, on their payroll, this gets kind of murky, but on their payroll, 4 years now. Coming up on four years in December.
Okay.
But before that, I was like an independent contractor, but I've been there for quite a while. And,
yeah.
I've been on everybody's barn, and meaning all the stations, and I just love the guys at CBS.
Do you love this job? Do you love what you do?
Of course. I mean,
tell me
come
why.
On. The worst day, and it's a job, you know, and everybody in this business has got to know. It's like it becomes a grind, but then sometimes you just got to stop. And I'm like, I'm flying in a helicopter looking at stuff and talking to people. I mean, does it get any better than that? I mean, it's the coolest job ever.
Yeah. What is your personal opinion of car chases? In other words, when one starts and you go to cover it, are you excited about it? Are you bored by it? Are you looking forward to it? Do you dread it? What's going through your mind, Steve?
Well, if the first natural response is tense, and anybody that works with me will probably attest to this, it's like, I got all these people in my ears. When are you going to be there? Where is it now? You know, they're asking me all these questions. And at that same time, I'm trying to make sure I know where it is, get the information to the pilot so we can get there in a timely manner. You know, we're listening to a scanner. And it isn't like there's somebody talking to me saying, we're right here. You got to grab these pieces of information when you can. Anyway, so it's tense. It's like so tense. And once we're there, that's when I'm always like, okay, we're here. Now what?
And now you talk for 11 hours straight.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes
to describe what's going on,
and sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's stuff that we're like, you know, even up in the helicopter, like, wow, this is awesome. And then sometimes we're just like, I can't. Can this come to an end?
I was defending you one time on Facebook.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it was. Do you remember the standoff that there was? Where there was an RV and a motorhome?
Yep.
was a woman in the motorhome, and she was throwing everything out.
Yep.
And everybody was getting so mad at Stu. They were like, stop calling it a motorhome. It's an RV. Stop calling it an RV. It's a motorhome. Yep. And I was like, leave Stu alone. He's doing fine.
Do you get a lot of feedback on your coverage, Stu?
You know what? This is the reason why I love the time I live in, we all live in. It's the internet. I can get instant feedback, and I try to talk to everybody. I try to interact with anybody that's interacting with me. I make that effort to interact back, and it's good, bad, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. As long as it's kind of funny, I'm all about it. And that's what it is. And I love it when we go to the internet, when these chases are happening, and we can do internet stuff, because I can literally open up my Facebook, and if I have some sort of internet signal, I can read comments, and I can
from the air.
Yeah, I can get the feel for what everybody else is seeing, because sometimes, you know, I'm in that little box up there with my pilot, and most of the time, pilot's super awesome. And when we sit there, and you know, it's a team, and I got people in my ear and talking, but you know, I don't know what everybody else is thinking. And now I can go ahead and I get the vibe. I get, like, are people getting bored? Are people thinking, why are they not doing something? You know, you can really interact with the public.
In that instance, you tried a few times to say it the way they wanted you to say it, whichever way it was.
Right.
And then you just gave up. You're just like, okay, well, yeah, it doesn't matter, because really it doesn't matter.
Right. And I think, and that's one of the reasons I love the station I work for, CBS KCAL. I mean, they embrace the stew, you know?
That just happened.
Yeah, that just happened. You know, in the old days, it was,
I loved it and never say it again.
Can I ask you a question?
No, please.
Are you controlling the camera as well?
Yeah, I run the camera.
Okay.
I don't fly the helicopter.
No,
Kevin.
I did say pilot maybe 10 times.
So that's my bad.
And, you know, some of my pilot buddies actually texted me on that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did. They were like, oh, now you're a pilot, Stu.
Sorry, pilots.
So you're controlling it. So when you're like, let me zoom in on this, that's you zooming in. Okay. Yeah.
And that's like my safety blanket. That's like my little security blanket. When I hold that, like when I do training and I'm not sitting there, I realize it's like I need that camera, because it's like that is second nature to me. I've been running a camera since the 90s. Mm-hmm. And it is just second nature. And when I have the control, like it's like a security blanket.
Yeah.
Like right now I'm nervous because I don't have my camera. I'm like trying to grab my camera.
Well, you got to embrace the stew.
Yeah, I got to embrace the stew.
What's your takeaway from covering 100 car chases probably from above about the mindset of the person behind the wheel? What have you learned to expect?
You know what? I have learned to never try to put myself into that corner where I have to say, what is this guy thinking? Because when I say that, I'm thinking to myself, why did you just say that? Because you have no idea.
There's no way to know, right?
Nobody knows what these guys are thinking. What I can say, though, is, you know, there's every now and then there's people that will write, oh, we're the problem. You know, media is the problem.
Because you're covering it.
Right.
And the TV channels are covering
right.
it.
Right. And we're just giving this guy his fame. You know what? I have never in my life had, you know, an aftermath where the guy says, I did that to be on television. Mm. Nobody's ever said that. I've never seen that. And actually, I've seen the opposite. It's like they don't want the media there. They're giving us those waves every now and then where you kind of go, oh, look, he's gesturing to us.
Well, once you're above them, Stu, once you and the copter are above them, you virtually assure they're going to get caught. They can't get away if you've got eyes on them, right?
Well, you know, my wife, she coined the phrase sky snitch. And that really, really, really stuck. And I let it out one time. I actually said it on the air, and it really stuck. But I think they mean it in a loving way. We're not the cops. We're the media. And mm-hmm. We'll follow them. And I'm just curious. I mean, it's curiosity. I want to see where this guy's going. I want to see where it's going to end.
I will say this about car chases and people that get mad and you're giving them publicity. I have seen on paper the ratings spike whenever there's a car chase. And now more than ever, because of social media, I used to do local news here.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, I used to get some like, oh, man, segment got cut because of this car chase. Until I was at a place that had a huge TV and I watched everybody from my live shot gravitate to the TV and they would not look away. And I thought, this is everyone at home.
Yeah.
This is why we do it.
They're ratings gold, right, Stu?
Oh, ratings gold.
I have a whole network of people who text me or tweet me or whatever that let me know that there's a chase on.
There's social media groups. Yeah. There's like like L.A. police group or something, police chase group, and the people that are on there, they obviously interact with me, and they're on Facebook and there's other places. But yeah, I mean, I said it on the pickup truck chase. I said it's become a culture because the pickup truck chase, that was a little odd. You know, LAPD has got this new thing now where they're trying to be the kinder, gentler LAPD.
Right.
They're just going to let you go. And it's an odd spot for the media because what do we do now?
So. Have you ever been involved in a situation, Sue? I know it's happened in LA media before where you've been covering something that just turned horrible and tragic, and it's now on the air live, and you've got to deal with the repercussions of that.
Yes. One of my first chases where I embraced the inner stew, it went very south. It was one of those ones where this guy's showboating and he's driving around Hollywood. I'm sure you guys will maybe, and you know, the real people, the real pursuity people will remember it. He pulls into a gas station and the cops just shot him. I mean, not just once. I mean, it was a barrage of bullets, and there were people pumping gas, and there were people running and hiding, and wow. It caught me way off guard, and it was, I think, was one of my first, you know, the whoa, because I was not expecting that.
No.
Yeah.
And I was, and instantly I was, you know, I realized, you know, the guy in the car is obviously shot, but I was worried about all these people pumping gas.
Right. No, yes. Kidding.
And I actually moved the camera, and that was a meeting. Why did you cut off the car?
Do you have a favorite?
Do I have a favorite?
Yeah.
Everybody always asks that. I like the ones, and it's the thing too. I got to be careful with like because you know we don't like the chases.
I love the chases. I'll say it.
I like the showboaty ones. We were talking to my wife and I were talking about it on the way down. There was a motorcycle one where the guy was like standing up and doing the Jesus. You can't. It's radio. You can't see me.
He was standing on the seat.
He was standing on the seat. Oh, and he was like holding his arms up as he was driving, and he was just showboating it up. And I actually got a hold of that guy on Instagram, and I followed him, and I think he followed me back. And then there was
you're coming for dinner. Yeah. What about the guys in the convertible that were chucking bread out?
Chucking the bread?
They were chucking loaves of bread, but then they got boxed in by the TMZ bus.
Oh, that one. That was the one in the rain.
Yes.
And, you know, that's it, for some reason, that one, it was too showboaty.
I liked it because I thought they were throwing out a mixtape, but then it turned out to be bread.
And they were doing selfies. And then at the end, they were, like, waiting for the cops to arrest them. And that was the thing, too. It's like, so a lot of this stuff doesn't get on the air because there's just not enough time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so funny to hear these officers. They're like, no, it's your pursuit. No, it's your pursuit. Well, okay, well, we don't have a car in that area. And there was just,
oh, really?
They were just like, it was like they didn't want to touch this guy. They were just like, you know, it's yours. It's
wasn't
yours.
There one in Santa Monica where a guy got out in bra and panties?
I don't remember that.
Wow.
I don't remember that one. That might have been in the morning.
Awesome.
It was like a morning show.
Yeah, it does.
Would we be amazed at how much you're hearing in your headset while you're up there?
Yeah, you would.
You got a lot of sources hitting you, right?
Yeah, and I think, again, KCAL, CBS, they've gotten to the point where when the chase is happening, they kind of stay away. Every now and then I'll get people just asking me like questions like, where are you now? And you know, we don't have the fancy moving map. I've got an iPad, you know, and my eyes. I can look out the window and I can kind of figure out where we are. And then, of course, we can listen if we can. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. But where we are is always the big question. And when they shout that out, I'm always thinking to myself, if I knew, I'd say it. Come on, guys.
Do you ever just – being up in the air hours every day, have you ever encountered any mechanical trouble or any weather or any time where you thought maybe you were in danger?
We could do a whole show on that.
Really?
Yeah, there's been a couple of times. I've never been in an actual precautionary landing or emergency landing. Well, no, there was a precautionary landing. We had one where we had it's called a high side governor, and we basically the pilot had to control the speed of the engine by the amount of fuel, which isn't the way do it, but it was one of those. It was a mechanical. That was years ago. We've had a couple bad weather winds.
I bet.
The helicopter does not like the wind. And sometimes we get those Santa Anas, and there was one time a
you
pilot.
Ever sick?
No, I've never gotten sick. I've always been blessed with that. Have never gotten sick. But I had a pilot that I'll say his name. Chip was the pilot, Chip Page, and he was screaming, "Engine out! Engine out!" He was
freaking out. Oh my God!
I was just like, "What?" And
it almost rolled us over.
I mean, it was a lot of wind. It was probably one of the worst we've ever had. Oh, and then there was another one, winds, where we got slammed. It was that's the thing. They're like, "Hey, there's all these high winds. There's trees down. There's wires down. Can you fly the helicopter out there and take a look?" And we were there, and Dan was my pilot, and we got hit so hard it literally threw the breakers for all the equipment. Like the camera and everything went off, and they didn't know where we were because the radios went off.
Wow.
And I never wear my seatbelt. I hit my head on the ceiling. That's how bad it was. I mean, we got slammed.
Did you watch any of the Dodger game last night? Did you hover just
far enough out with your camera?
We got to watch some of them leaving. Yesterday was really, really busy.
Oh, it was, okay.
But we did see the first one, and I got emotional. They did the flag. I was just like, wow, that is awesome. And then the flyover was freaking so cool.
Yeah.
And we're not allowed to watch the game.
All right. Last question, because we're out of time with great Stu Mundell from KCAL and CBS Channel 2. He's in the helicopter doing your car chase coverage. And that is, what's your relationship like with the other men and women who do your job for other TV stations? Are you guys friendly or are you competitive?
Very competitive. It is very competitive, but they are all colleagues. It is a very small group.
If you run into them on the street, there's a fight, though, right?
No.
Yeah, it's like West Side Story.
I mean, are you ever covered? Like, there's a couple. When you're over a chase, are you ever all hovered in a very small airspace?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's been times where I've looked up and I go, hey, did he get a new watch, you know, in the helicopter. So, we get super close. It's super tight up there. Safety is always the issue.
Sure.
All the pilots, everybody knows everybody, and we know each other very well. So we know what to expect from each other. Mm-hmm. And of course, we all know each other, and we are all – I'm doing the air quotes. I know it's radio. You can't see me. We're all friendly.
I got to tell you, we're out of time, unfortunately, because you were late because you got stuck in traffic.
which
I find very funny.
Hysterical.
Because you sit over in a helicopter and talk about traffic all day long.
I am the traffic.
Right? You're in the middle of it. Well, we appreciate you coming in very much.
I love being here. This is awesome.
Thank you, Stu. You're welcome anytime, my friend.
Yes.
Our friend Chip open for that band.
Yes, yeah.
The well-hung horse.
Fake news.
What?
Fake news, okay? Fake news.
I think it was
the lamestream media is saying that they opened for the Offspring.
You opened for the Offspring. Did you?
Wrong.
On Monday night. Okay.
Wrong. Wrong.
Hey, just ahead of Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat, we apologize to Stu Mundell, who was just our guest in studio from CBS TV. We forgot to mention he's got a special on the news tonight. What's going on, Allie? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's a story on emergency vehicles and their response times. It's airing tonight at 11 p.m. on CBS 2. And let's be honest, it's November sweep, so you're going to want to watch that.
Yeah. It's going to be good. Your pillow will kill you or something.
I'm just reading an article in the other room, how M&M's are the most dangerous candy. I'm not
more
kidding.
More dangerous than black licorice?
Wow.
More deadly than black licorice. And we all know that's the candy you can overdose.
That'll kill you.
Stop your heart.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Joe Buck, next half hour, as we continue our Dodger coverage ahead of Game 7 tonight at Dodger Stadium. Ralph's here now to have the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
What's going on, indeed, with Bruce Springsteen? What's happened to the boss? I think Broadway's gone to his head. He's all highfalutin now.
Uh-oh.
On the Broadway instead of playing in the bars in the swamps of New Jersey where he belongs. Because he's got a new song out. No.
You're saying no.
It's from the new movie, Thank You for Your Service. It's called Freedom Cadence, and it's supposed to be about the vets who have fought our wars and the PTSD and the other conditions that they suffer from
after. That's a cause very close to the boss's heart.
It is indeed, Bean. You're absolutely right. And that's why I think he phoned this one in, this Freedom Cadence song. It's the same rhythm over and over again with some just really unfortunate rhymes, just barely words that are barely rhyming. I don't know what happened. I don't know what the boss was doing while he should have been writing this song, but it might involve a body. That's all I know. From what I know about the man, from what I've heard on your show. Here's a little taste of the news from Bruce Springsteen.
Some say freedom is free, but I tend to disagree. I say freedom is won through the barrel of a
It's not awesome.
Had a brother in Iraq. He didn't come back. But his wife
And why is the quality of that so bad?
That has not been released officially yet.
Oh, I see. Okay. That was just somebody recording.
Someone recorded it off the ending credits of the movie. Thank you for your service with Miles Teller. You can see it over the credits of that film. So it's been released on the internet in that version. And I think you're paying attention to the wrong things about that song, frankly,
okay.
Kevin.
Okay.
I don't think so much about the quality of the recording as it is about the quality of the lyrics and the music. That may be more
That's
problematic.
What I meant, right.
But I'm just guessing. What do I know?
That's what I meant.
Listen, I'm going to give something away right now because you people are nice. And I'm telling you something. I know from personal experience this is a good thing to get.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
This is tickets to the K-Rock advanced screening of a film called Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Yay!
It's a mouthful, the title. But I'm telling you, I've seen this film, and it is one of my favorite movies of 2017.
How did that happen that you saw this movie?
Because I know a
Hollywood,
guy who knows
sakes.
A guy.
Okay.
And I saw this film, and it is emotionally devastating. It is raw, and it is also hilariously funny. And how often does that happen in a movie? Well, it's from the writer-director of In Bruges, if you ever saw that, or Seven Psychopaths.
Such a great movie.
Yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. Anyway, we're having a special K-Rock advanced screening of the movie Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri at the Landmark on November 8th. Movies in theaters on November 10th. Frances McDormand stars. And if she's not nominated for an Oscar for this performance, I'm telling you something. There's something wrong. Woody Harrelson's also brilliant. Sam Rockwell. Peter Dinklage. Come on. It's like an all-star team of actors. Call now. 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to see this movie. And I'm telling you, you would like to see this movie. Five lucky winners will get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. You want to know what it's about quickly?
Sure.
Frances McDormand plays the mother of a girl, a young woman who was murdered and raped in this small town in Missouri. And she feels that the local police are not doing enough to solve her murder. So she finds three blank billboards in this stretch of road that no one really travels on. And she rents them out and puts three different sayings on the board that pressure the local police to do their job, basically. And in this small town, it turns everybody upside down because you get these warring factions of the people who side with the police and the people who are on her side, and it becomes this civil war in this town, in essence, between the townspeople. And it is fascinating, riveting, emotionally raw, and also very, very funny. And I'm going to tell you, it's a great film. So check it out when it comes out. Today's celebrity birthdays: Anthony Kiedis, 55 years old today, from Red Hot Chili Peppers, of course. Jenny McCarthy's 45. Toni Collette, also 45 years old today. Ooh, that was bellus interruptus there.
Right.
I don't know what happened. Something gets stuck in your bell there, Bean?
That's fine, I think.
Soup. Right.
It sound weird?
Soup in your bell?
You got a
Might
soup
bell?
Very possible this week.
And Penn Badgley is 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't know if you saw, but Mr. David Grohl was filling in for Jimmy Kimmel last night.
Yeah.
Hey, as the host.
He was as great at that as he is at everything else. We get it.
It's unbelievable how funny he was on that show. Came out dressed as David Letterman.
Yeah, it looked just like him, too.
With the big
awesome.
Beard and the whole deal. Hey, let me hear that sweet, sweet sound that was coming out of my TV last night, would you?
Got it! This series too good to end in six. Dodgers force a game seven. They win it 3-1.
Come on, Joe had that one in the chamber, man. He had that written out ahead of time. There's no way he came up with that in the moment. Is there, Joe Buck?
I texted a combination of Jim Nance, Al Michaels, and my third grade English teacher, and they all came back with the same thing, and so I used it.
It was good.
That's
man.
A lot of research for that line. It was real good. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, I did. I thought of that on my own. My own little pea brain came up with that at some point in
well
the
done.
Ninth inning. Like, what am I going to say? Now, I've used "We'll see you tomorrow night" twice in my life. One time in 2011 when David Freese hit a home run to force a game seven in St. Louis is kind of a tip of the cap to my dad, who used that line in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
And,
wow.
And I thought, you know, I'm not doing the Jack Buck cover band lines anymore. I'm going to come up with my own. And it's fitting because it's true. I mean, the series is so good and so crazy and so many twists and turns.
We were talking about this earlier this morning. Is this – how many World Series have you covered?
20.
Is this the best?
Yeah, I think it's hard because everyone's got its own personality. But I think, yeah, I think with the number of unexpected heroes and mistakes and home runs, I mean, just game five alone in Houston with three game-tying home runs, which had never happened in World Series history, the number of home runs we've had, you know, whether the pitchers are crying about the baseballs are too slick or whatever, I think there's been so much action that for that alone, it's the most thrilling that I've ever seen.
A lot of people are saying it doesn't always happen this way, but this year the right two teams made it to the World Series. Like, this is the best of all possible matchups in the MLB between the AL and the NL. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's funny when you listen to network executives at the end of the ALCS, even though we got seven games there, it was like, oh my God, how great would it have been to get the Dodgers and the Yankees? You know, they think about the big markets and the
right
and the numbers that you're going to get out of the gate, and that's not the way it works anymore. I don't think. I mean, yeah, you're going to get a big push ratings wise at the mm-hmm. beginning because it is, you know, the top two markets going head to head, but you need the good matchup to get a game six. You need a great matchup to get a game seven. And once you get game six and seven, then the average fan, I mean, the average fan doesn't care if it's New York and L.A., if they live in Omaha or sure. if they live in Minneapolis. So once you get a great series that's matched up like this and this crazy, then the average fan comes in. And that's when you get the crazy numbers, which I guess the rating was really good last night. I haven't seen it. You know, it doesn't matter. You got to just go do your job. But I think that the average person, not even baseball fan, the average person is now aware of this World
Series. I agree. We're talking to our friend Joe Buck here on the Kevin Amici. Of course, we'll be calling the World Series Game 7 from Dodger Stadium, the first ever to be played at Dodger Stadium, which was an amazing stat to hear come out of your mouth last night, Joe. But you're going to be back there tonight. How do you compare the Dodgers fans during the game to the Astros fans during the game? They both seem about as fired up as an audience can be.
More well-known.
There are a lot of celebrities here.
Yes, there
yeah,
are.
We do the celebrity rip, and it's like, oh, yeah, and there's John Hamm. It's hilarious just because I grew up with Hamm in St. Louis. And, of course, he texted me, I'll be there wearing my Cardinal hat.
That he was.
Is typical John. But, yeah, it's I thought if you put this crowd in L.A., inside that stadium in Houston, it'd be the same. The difference is in Houston, you've got that metallic roof that's closed, and it holds all that noise in. I mean, I walk out of there and A, with a headache. B, my ears are ringing.
It really does make that big of a difference.
I think it does,
yeah.
Just because the noise has nowhere to go. But then you go to L.A. like last night, the booth was literally moving. Which I'm not a big fan of, you know, but it was bouncing. And when the booth is bouncing and that place is that loud, I mean, it's wide open. You know,
yeah.
Compare it to Houston, it's wide open. It's probably the most open stadium in sports, and it was deafening. And that's why, you know, I listened to that highlight you just played of the last out. And there are times where I'm like, I don't know if vocally I can get over this crowd. And
wow.
So we've got a great audio guy that can kind of play with that a little bit and pot them down, as we used to say in radio, and mm-hmm. get me over the top of it. But it's a challenge vocally to get there at the end of the night.
Joe, I think this pretty much sums up your career. Let me just read two tweets. The first one from Manny. Please ask him why he hates on the Dodgers so much. And then a text from my friend Jenna. Please ask Joe why he's such a Dodgers homer. Signed, all of Houston.
Right.
You,
well,
you get that
all
the time, don't you, Joe?
First of all, Jenna sucks. We know that. And then tell her right back at her and just, how about this? Hey, Jenna, shut up.
All right.
Whoa,
okay, what about
strong.
Manny? You got something for Manny?
He's right.
Okay, all right. So you hate the Dodgers.
That's just my life. I remember, and I love Jenna. I'm just kidding about Jenna. But I remember back when my dad did this for 2 years at CBS. And at one point, he said something about Pittsburgh. He was trying to bail Bobby Vinton out of singing a terrible national anthem. He messed all the words up, the melody up, and my dad said something about Polish and Pittsburgh. And when he and my mom came back to their hotel room, there was a footprint in the middle of my dad's pillow.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
And I remember him talking about, my God, I can't win. I mean, all the Pirate fans think I love the Braves, and all the Braves fans think I love the Pirates. And then he said, you know, I talked to Vin Scully about it, and Vin used to get it, especially back when he, you know, the year when Kirk Gibson hit the home run, because he's the Dodgers announcer. And so everybody goes, well, of course he loves the Dodgers. You could hear how, you know, he was basically crying when Kirk Gibson is so beautiful to him because he's a Dodger fan, and Kirk Gibson hit the home run. All I can do, here's what happens in this time of year. Everybody's used to their home announcers.
Right.
And when we show up as the national guys, and, yeah, I get excited for the Dodgers because they're exciting moments. That's my job. But I also have to get excited for the Astros because that's my job.
But you could do that less.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I don't know. I thought Joe was in love with Verlander last night. He spent two innings talking about how great Verlander was.
Well,
was
not a lot. Now, everybody in Chicago last year, the Cubs, had me and Clayton Kershaw married.
Sure.
Because I was so in love with Clayton Kershaw during the... But when you have greatness on the mound, you have to set up the story, and you have to talk about the guys 9-0 with the Houston Astros. That's part of the narrative, and part of why what the Dodgers did in beating him was so big and so hard to do. So you have to get excited for both sides, and fans aren't used to hearing that all season long, and then when they hear me get excited for Houston,
yeah,
they're a Dodger fan. They go, "Oh, he hates the Dodgers," and vice versa. So it's just an unwinnable. I don't even choose to play a game.
But still, F Jenna, right?
Well, yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, listen, we know you got a heart out here, Joe. You got a very busy day calling that Game 7 tonight. You're doing a wonderful job as always. We're enjoying it so much. And go Dodgers! And thank you so much for jumping on. And we'll talk again soon. All right.
Of course, anytime.
Thank you, Joe. Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
How about one more time? Ralph Garman takes a look at the showbiz beat here on The Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday.
The best story by far, talking to my little friend Allie McKay here behind the scenes about the NFL.
Yeah.
Best story by far about yesterday's trade deadline was the endlessly inept Cleveland Browns once again coming through. Spectacular story.
Yeah, I saw that headline. Unbelievable. But I wasn't really tracking on.
They got together with the Bengals. To make a trade for a desperately needed quarterback, A.J. McCarron, that is playing for the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
And they made the trade to bring him to the woeful Cleveland Browns. And so they agreed to the deal. And then the NFL said, well, no, this deal doesn't count. And they're like, why? He's like, well, because you never send in the paperwork.
What?
Because, wait for it, they were too busy celebrating the trade that the guys in the personnel department forgot to finalize the paperwork and make the trade.
Are you kidding?
Because they were too busy high-fiving each other about the great trade that they had just made.
That's
this
so brown.
Was a success.
Nothing's ever been brownier.
Yeah, that's true.
So brown.
You are a factory of sadness! I said, that's the browniest thing I've ever heard.
It really is.
It really is.
Yeah! Woo! We scored! A.J. McCarron just goes through with it. What? Oh, paperwork! Fail! Epic fail. Yeah.
How about your team?
Made me larf.
What the heck?
Got a little running back. A little running back from the Dolphins. How happy is he, by the way? How happy is the J.E.?
Oh, he's so happy.
Couldn't be more happy. Oh, couldn't be happier.
The best is Adam Gase, coach of the Dolphins today, you know, press conference. Says, I like where we're at right now.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I like being anemic in the running back department.
Oh, dear. They're anemic in all departments.
Yeah. Well, so, they got a fourth rounder for him.
But depends on how there was a compensation thing.
Yeah,
to it
whatever,
too.
Whatever
yeah,
it is,
stupid.
Whatever the compensation is, it's
it was a
fine.
Bag
it's
of good. Doritos.
We got Blunt now and a J.E.
It was one step above the Browns.
It's spectacular.
Trade basically
spectacular.
You get traded to the Eagles right now. You're real happy, right?
Yeah, right,
right.
Goddamn right. I was trick or treating with my kid last night as Carson Wentz, MVP nominee candidate Carson Wentz. And got a lot of love from some people, a lot of hate from some other people. Who knew there were that many Cowboy fans out there in Southern California? But, all I could do was go, hee-hee. All right, let's take a look at the news that is show busy. Bad Boys. Remember the movie Bad Boys? Martin Lawrence, Will Smith,
Bad Boys. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm sure Kevin saw it in its many sequels.
I think they had two sequels, maybe one. I don't know. It's been a couple.
I would guess that I did as well, but I don't remember.
I was stunned and surprised to see the news yesterday. They're planning a Bad Boys TV series. But wait for it. It's a spinoff. Gabrielle Union in those films played the sister of Martin Lawrence's character and the love interest of Will Smith's character. Mm-hmm. But she was also a undercover DEA agent in the film. So in the TV series, she's going to be a DEA agent without Martin Lawrence or Will Smith. So her character will get a spinoff. So it's Bad Boys without the boys.
Okay. I mean,
all right.
It seems like a reach to me. If you like Gabrielle Union, you want to make her a cop or a DEA agent, just do that. Why the tangential sort of flimsy connection to the Bad Boys films, where you're not going to have either bad nor boys?
I don't expect that to be good, but I will say that a lot of people questioned whether Better Call Saul was going to work as a spinoff of Breaking Bad, where you took a kind of a minor character and built a show around him, and that turned out to be great.
Yeah, but that was a TV series with a history, a back history to it, where you could have that storyline splinter off.
Yeah,
she wasn't exactly carrying a lot of plot in the Bad Boys films.
Yeah, I think you're right. I rescind my comment.
Thank you.
I'm just sad that they're ending Being Mary Jane in 2018, so she can do this.
There's a thing called Being Mary Jane?
What does that mean?
It's only the greatest show. She's a news anchor, and it's all about trying to find love.
Bean, have you ever heard that?
She's a news anchor.
I've seen the name.
Trying to find love?
I don't know anything about it.
That's not a thing.
Oh, Being Mary Jane is an excellent show.
What? How do you always? How does Allie see all these shows that none of us have heard of?
I think
of?
She has her own network.
I think so too.
It's like an audience of one, and she just sits in a room and they put on like plays for her or something.
Fantastic show.
You live in an alternate universe.
So weird.
A little bit.
She has all the time back that other women use dating.
Oh, why you gotta be like that?
Why does that have to be the place?
Hurtful and correct.
So more hurtful.
A little bit.
And speaking of the ladies, Christina Aguilera in the news. She has announced she's going to pay tribute to a late great artist at this year's American Music Awards. She is going to have a whole medley tribute to the late Whitney Houston. Finally, someone's getting around to paying some tribute to Whitney Houston.
Well,
because she did
die
in the 70s. Why so soon, Christina Aguilera? I don't get it. Why?
Not George Michael? Not Prince?
No, Whitney Houston.
I don't get it either.
She will sing tunes from Whitney's iconic film, The Bodyguard. And it's been announced that Viola Davis, who, of course, Allie stars in...
How to Get Away with Murder.
...will be introducing Christina and the tribute.
Maybe it's a 25th anniversary of The Bodyguard type recognition thing, maybe.
Oh.
But do we need that?
No.
I don't understand the story on any level.
Yes.
What? We don't need that.
I need all Whitney all the time. And if Christina's going to do it, I'm in.
But why now?
Because she died in 2012.
Right, that's my point.
Oh, got it.
That's his point.
25th anniversary of Houston's film, The Bodyguard.
But that wasn't a great movie.
Oh, are you kidding? Kevin Costner's like, whoa, I'll protect you. She's like, I don't need it. And he's like, I will. I don't know. Are we falling in love? Not sure. And
ouch. That's going to linger.
I was happy with that right up until the song.
Wow.
I want to see your one-man show on The Bodyguard, though. I think
my right
ear just stopped working.
No. I'm envious of your right ear. And let's, while we're talking about artists who have passed away, the late, great Keith Wilder. Lead singer for the band Heatwave has passed away. He was 65 years old. Sang lead on Heatwave's greatest hits. Massive, huge hits.
It was like a heat wave.
Nope.
Right?
That was not one of them.
Burning in my soul, heart.
I don't know where it's burning.
No.
That's not it?
Best known for their big hits, Boogie Nights. Boogie Nights. Right? That's it, the boogie, get down. Because boogie nights are always the best in town. Got to keep on dancing, keep on dancing. And of course, always and forever.
Sure.
This moment with you.
Rudy Cisneros is so happy right now.
Is just like a dream to me that somehow came true. That's and I song. Know tomorrow.
Right. I think we know which song you're doing.
We still right. feel this way. No,
yeah, he did a great job with it.
Right.
It's 64 degrees along the coast.
Yeah. In Philly, it was Magic 103. Used to play love songs at night. Oh, boy. Always and Forever. That was a deal closer right there, man.
Yeah.
If you were in the right situation when Always and Forever hit the airwaves, you couldn't mess it up. Bean could have messed it up, but most people could not get laid to
Bean
that
would
song.
Not have been in the right position when that song came on.
Let me tell you a fun fact about Heat Wave. That's what he would have done. That's how he would have ruined the whole thing.
Why do you think that song went on the charts?
What do you think about Rod Temperton? Did you know he wrote Thriller? And he was the keyboardist for Heat Wave. Yeah, I need to go, Gene. Bye. Door slam. Walk, 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 walk. Car start.
You're not wrong about any of that.
You didn't even pick her up? She drove her own car?
Yeah, she stole a car to escape.
Really?
Yeah, she hotwired a car in order to get away. Today's celebrity birthdays. Red Hot Chili Pepper singer Anthony Kiedis is 55 years old today. TV.
Bring a bong, Burbank. Glendale.
Yeah. Sings all the cities of California. TV show host Jenny McCarthy. More radio show hosts these days. Tony, she's 45. Tony Collette, also 45. Penn Badgley, a very talented young actor, 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take your out to SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today on K-Rock at 5 p.m. tomorrow morning. An all-new Kevin and Bean show. Dr. Drew joins us. Jim Rome talks sports with us. And Richard Blade.
Come on.
A man by the name of Richard Blade.
It's a date, baby.
What does that do to teenage Ally McKay right now?
I loved him so much, it's ridiculous. To the point, when I was 14 years old, my friend Heather Moody had her mom drive us to the Glendale Galleria pouring rain to get stickers from Richard Blade.
I love little girls.
Right. I mean, that's a weird soundbite to pull.
Those stories are eventually going to start coming out.
No.
It's going to be a party.
It's a new culture. It's a new world we live in.
So that's tomorrow morning.
It's going to be amazing.
You're the worst.
That's tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show and...
Dodgers! Let's go, Dodgers! Let's go, Dodgers! Hey, Ellie, how about that jock going deep? Huh? An Adrian % ad. I love you guys. Thank you.
Go Dodgers.